Hey everybody, welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Nicola, and we have Shen back.
Hey, long time no see.
How you doing, Shen?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Good.
So what's new with you?
Been pretty busy, actually, with the event that's just gone on, the Creators Update event.
Wait, you actually do some work here?
Yeah. So I've been busy building a demo. So for those of you who saw the event where we showed a lot of cool features that are coming in the Windows platform, things like inking, shape recognition, composition APIs, we show hide animation, Cortana skills, all the good stuff. There'll be a link somewhere at the bottom for that event as well, but also the actual demo we showed, people loved it, so I thought, why not release it out to the public? So it's on GitHub. I put it out today, so whenever this goes out, it'll probably be yesterday.
Or wherever you watch the show.
But yeah, there'll be a link to that too, so you guys should check it out. Tell us what you think. You got my Twitter handle if you have any questions, so yeah, so that's
cool,
what
we're doing. Cool, yeah, I watch your demo. I play with it,
Did you like it?
I do like it. It's really cool. You do need to have the Insider SDK installed.
You do, you
have
and
to
have Insider, 2017, yeah, Visual Studio.
Visual Studio 2017. So it's all the latest stuff, and all the stuff coming up.
Yep.
So, you know, it's going to be all the cool, magical stuff that's going to be, you know, in the future.
Yeah, people should have a play.
They should try it, yeah. And, you know, there's some other favorites. Anyway, we're going to keep going.
Yeah.
Now, for those that missed last show, which is probably one of the best shows of the season, we don't have any seasons, but one of the best shows this year, I guess, this week. We had Dan and Brian. I was on the show for all of 10 seconds, and they kicked me out and then showed us how to actually do the show.
They did a great job and showed you how it should be done, right? So no pressure on this one.
No. It's not everything from now on at this point is just downhill.
So let's move on. Let's get some news.
Anyway, so let's talk about the new stuff. So Raman Sharma has a new blog post and announces some of the new stuff in Azure Functions, especially around serverless architectures and making serverless applications. And I like his blog post because he talks about a few different things that they've done improvements in, around Azure Functions. Mm-hmm. And for those people that use Azure Functions and they do serverless applications, this is a godsend. One of the best thing they have is support for the serverless framework, which is an open source project that now fully supports Azure Functions, and there's also other cool things like Azure Function Proxies, et cetera. So it's a great blog post. Ram did a great job in going and breaking everything down. So it's a great time to actually get started and playing with this stuff right now.
Okay, yeah, sounds great. All right, so five features to watch in Visual Studio. So this is actually a really good blog post. I like this especially because it talks about some of the new features that I'm very keen about. Like, one of my favorites is live unit testing. For any of those in the past who've used things like ngCrunch and things like that, the idea here behind live unit testing is, as you're writing your code, it's actually executing your unit tests in the background, so you can clearly see what's failing as you're coding, so there's none of that, oh, let me build and let me run my tests separately and see what's working and what's
not.
And
there's lines of little things next to the lines. So
yeah.
This line has been tested. This line hasn't been tested. You're doing a bad job.
This is an absolutely beautiful feature. I love it. So one thing to mention, though, it is only in the Visual Studio Enterprise Edition, which sort of makes sense. It is pretty much an enterprise-type feature. The second one that they're doing is a CoStar configuration. Again, this is one I really like, especially if you're in Teams, because you know everyone always has their different styles on how they write code. The nice thing about this is it keeps everything consistent. So if you're one of those
forces people to use a certain style.
Exactly, exactly. So if you like ever use StarCop or whatever FXCop, this is the sort of thing that's really important. Just make sure that you've got consistency across the board, so every developer that reads your code has an understanding of how it works.
And it's a good thing to note here is that all these different things were possible in 2015, but you did have extensions, or you have to use different tools.
Exactly.
This is all built into Visual Studio right now.
They've clearly done the homework and said, okay, what are people using? And actually, we should just bake this in. So this is what it's all about. And I'll quickly run through the others, but you know, it's just like migration tools and making sure that Bower restores properly, and ECMAScript 6 sort of JavaScript editor configuration. It's really nice. No more squigglies when you're doing imports, exports, and stuff.
Those squigglies, man, they're always getting that. Why is it there?
It relieves some of the OCD that I have. It's good.
Anyway, we all know Visual Studio 2017 hasn't been launched yet. This is the RC version we're talking about. But we did announce the launch date, which is March 7th, which is in a few weeks from now.
But that also means that we're on the 20th year. Yes. It's the 20-year anniversary of Visual Studio. Like, Visual Studio 97. Like,
what were you 20 years ago, Shen?
Luckily, I don't know if it's lucky. I was coding. It's what I did. So I don't know if you were alive around here, but if you've ever used this, it's definitely gone leaps and bounds, but this was a breakthrough in what happened because everything was just coming together. So, hey, if you're watching and you've used Visual Studio 97, I would love to know like what was your first app using Visual Studio 97? It'd just be interesting to know.
Yeah, yeah. And Julia also talks about the new event that we're going to have during this launch. Yeah. So we're going to have a two-day live event happening on March 7th. We're going to talk about all kinds of new stuff around Visual Studio, .NET. I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of cool stuff for everybody. So, and everyone can watch it. They can sign up. And there's a link right there that you can click on in that blog post. It's if, or you can go to launch.visualstudio.com. Yeah. You can register for that event. It's really, really cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Now, Terrence has also a great blog post about documentation.
Yeah, so documentation. It's always an interesting one. So I know a lot of people use things like NDoc or Sandcastle to generate their documentation, and some people use Ghostdoc to actually go and, you know, make sure that it reads correctly or at least helps you write good comments. The idea basically here is just to make sure that when you're writing code, there's a nice thing to do for developers around putting comments in the right places and then also having a README file, which is really important these days because that's where developers first go. This blog post basically just explains all of that and, you know, all the various tools that are out there for you. It's definitely a worthy read. I think it's important.
And if you're a real developer, you probably don't like writing documentation.
Yeah, well, this,
but this is actually, I like this blog post a lot because he has a lot of different links to different people talking about why documentation is important and how to best organize your READMEs or how to better organize your documentation, which is, if you're just getting started with documentation, this is amazing.
Well, the important thing here to stress is that actually you write your documentation in the code. So it generates it from your summary tags, which is really cool. So you're not sitting there writing a separate markdown file if you don't want to. It just works it out from your code. So it's a nice feature.
Now, if they can only make a, something, they can actually make samples for you that you can share with somebody,
exactly.
Then you'll be done.
Yeah.
Anyway, now Scott Hanselman is back with another blog post talking about how to use or how to run and manage a lot of different web apps on your app services instead of using a single web app on one app service and wasting all this bandwidth or all this and power that you have in this one app service.
That's the thing, because people just spin up a VM and put their single web app on there and it's like, whoa, that's a pretty expensive machine to have. So Scott does a great job of sort of demystifying a lot of this and saying, hey, you know what? Let me show you ways you can take advantage of the infrastructure that's at play with Azure and how you can make the most of it. So whether you want 20 web apps or maybe a particular service, it's really nice. And he talks about ways that you can actually have a very hands-off, I don't want to manage this, but I still want all my web apps there. And he also has the opposite where he says, well, actually, if you do want to manage the device, you can actually go and do that in the cloud. So it's a great read. You know, it's from Scott, so it's always interesting.
And most people, when they play with Azure services, they do have a lot of different services. Either is it something they're using for production and or something they're playing with. And it doesn't make any sense to have a specific VM or specific VM for every single thing, because some things you only use once and you just forget about it or you leave it there. Some things, it's actually very popular. Then you can manage the load, all these different things. And maybe you can just use one VM or one app service to manage all these different things.
I think it'd be interesting to see how much money people save using this technique. So I think it'd be quite a lot, especially as they start reading through the plan and thinking, oh man, I do that, I should stop.
Exactly. And you know, this can get really expensive the more and more you use. So it's a great guide for those people that are using a lot of services. Now, speaking of different services, Service Fabric and Windows Container have a new sample. And there's a new sample that has been released on GitHub right now that talks about how to deploy two Windows Container services in a single application, communicating with each other and doing all kinds of different cool stuff, like having a front end in C# and a back end in Node and all these different things. It's a great sample. It's already on GitHub. And people can just go ahead and download it. And I strongly encourage them to play with this because it's all new stuff and really cool stuff that people are actually doing right now.
Okay, nice.
Recently, we also had an announcement for the 2007 Microsoft Health Innovation Awards. Did you follow the awards?
A little bit. I didn't follow all of it. But
you
I
didn't go to the actual ceremony where everyone was dressed up with all the suits and they announced the actual device. No, it wasn't
that. This industry is really important. And I think that the fact that they're embracing technology more and more every day is a great way. And this is just one of the ways of highlighting some of those people.
Yeah, and there were different types of categories of different ways that people can win in each categories. For example, there was one category that I really liked was the Transform the Care Continuum, I believe, where they created a cardiac high activity monitor program that connects family to the medical team using real-time analysis of vital statistics and videos. Now,
that's
a lot
impressive.
It's a lot of stuff. But actually dive into deep into technology. It's incredible what kinds of technology they use. And they use these things that you maybe hear about it in demo purposes. Like, oh yeah, we have this new thing. Here's a demo. But when you actually see it being used in a real-life scenario, it's amazing. It clicks. Like, oh my god, that makes sense. I can use it like that.
It's a good sense of empowerment.
Exactly. So there's a lot of cool projects that a lot of different teams have created, and they've been awarded in this whole thing.
Nice.
It's really cool. Definitely check it out. And finally, we have a new blog post around UWP development, which is about WebRTC. For those that don't know, WebRTC stands for real-time communication. It's essentially a protocol that Google has created, and it's something that's actually built into Edge now. If you have the insider version of Edge, it supports ORTC and WebRTC. You can do some kind of real-time communications in video or audio, et cetera. So it makes this peer-to-peer communication really easily. And we have a library now that's open source and available for Windows development. UWP development. So you can have an Xbox app talking to a mobile app or desktop app, having this real-time communication and video,
That's powerful. It is.
And it is really powerful. It's amazing what you can do with this because it's not just about video or audio, it's also about data sharing and streaming all this data. So you can do things like HoloLens sharing and doing shared experiences with HoloLens.
Pretty
and you can
high do some really cool stuff.
Yes, it is really, really cool stuff. And if you are interested in doing this WebRTC stuff or interested in doing some real-time communication, James Catt has done a great job in explaining how it works and what the sample, what the actual project does.
I'm going to check that out. That's brilliant.
Yes. Now it's that time of the week. We have picks of the week. I'm going to start with mine. I tried to make a video here, but I don't think it's going to work. Never mind. Now my pick of the week is actually a live scan 3D, like a real-time shared experiences with Kinect sensors and a HoloLens device. So essentially what happens is this Kinect sensors get this point data, cloud data, from whatever they're seeing, and they can stream this data directly to a HoloLens. So that way you can have this almost telepresence scenario where someone's sitting and doing something and this Kinect sensor is recording it, and someone with HoloLens can actually see this live model wherever they are, whatever this person is doing, as if they're sitting in front of them.
That's impressive.
And it's all open source. So these guys have done a great job and open sourcing this. Anybody can try this. They can download the source code. They can build, it's a Unity application with, I believe, a C++ application that does the Kinect sensors and stuff. So you can download this. As long as you have the hardware, you can do this yourself and you can try it out. It's really cool.
Probably use this mixed with the WebRTC stuff and you can have actually a live meeting with loads of people. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, so it's definitely worth checking out. It's all on GitHub right now. You can take a look at the code, take a look at the documentation. Yeah. It's really good stuff.
Nice. Okay, yes. So my pick of the week. So we talked a lot about Visual Studio today. This is very much in line with that. So it's done by Mads Christensen. It's a great plugin for the Surface Dial. So the idea is that I can use my dial to do my debugging, step over. Like, this is a total geek out. Like, not necessary, but I still want
it. It's so cool, though. Being able to just, debug through your code.
Yeah, like, I just feel like I'm on one of those sci-fi movies. I love this stuff. So if you have a dial, you check it out. And if you don't, maybe this would entice you to buy one. I don't know. Yeah, I'm definitely going to use it.
Cool. And if you have any ideas, I'm sure they're open to suggestions. You can do some cool stuff with this.
Yeah, really cool stuff.
Anyway, well, thank you, Shen, for joining us for this show.
It's fantastic.
Thanks, everybody, for watching the show. And we'll see you next time.